We've been doing this series called Words and the Power of Words, and last week we were talking about that it's believing, a believing heart. It's a believing heart. We found it. Let me give you our foundational verse throughout the whole series, Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life. Say death and life. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue, or your words, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We see that practically. We see that spiritually. We see that in challenges that we might not have realized that all of a sudden when we were young, we were told something and kept and was told repeatedly something negative, and all of a sudden we grow up with that mindset and that hindrance. Maybe you were told by somebody that you'll never do anything right and you'll always fail, and so every time you try to do something new, you have this uneasy feeling of, I bet I'm going to fail. See, those are words that have tried to root inside who we are and change our attitude, our perspective, and challenge us and hinder us. But just because they're there doesn't mean they have to stay there. Can I get an amen? Jesus said, every plant that was not planted by my Father, he once rooted up. And we talked a few weeks ago how to uproot that garbage, that death that would try to survive in our lives. Last week we talked about it's just got to be more than words, because we can parrot stuff, but it's when you say something with authority that comes out of a believing heart. For the Bible says you are saved by grace, and that salvation process for all of us came from when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And so there's that power of God that backs his word. It's just not saying what you want to happen. That's just kind of like an affirmation. You can be 5'2" and say you're going to be 7'2" all day long, and you do it 1,000 times a day, but probably won't be 7'2". It's not a matter of just saying what you want to happen. See, that's the new age. They've taken a truth from God's word and they've manipulated it. New age is mind over matter. That's not what we're talking about in this series. We're talking about God's word, God's truth, that which is eternal, making that which is temporary, the problem you deal with, change. Because the Bible says we don't look at the things that are temporary, which are things are subject to change. The word temporary means subject to change. Whatever problem you deal with right now that looks so overwhelming, I'm here to tell you, it's subject to change. Whatever impossibility that you're dealing with, I'm here to tell you, it's subject to change. Whatever feeling, negative feeling of maybe hopelessness or anger or frustration, and you don't think you'll ever see the light of the tunnel, I'm here to tell you, it's subject to change. Did you hear me? Many times, and that's the wisdom of life, learning that just what you're in today doesn't mean you're going to be there forever. You can make it through it. You can go through it. It's subject to change. And we can speed up that process. Just like when Jesus spoke to the storm, that storm wasn't going to be there there forever. You know, just in practicality of storms, they come and they blow out. But Jesus was able to fix the resolve faster and bring the finished state of it being calm, and he brought that in the midst of the storm. So we can try to endure just through the storms of life, hoping we'll survive, or we can learn to activate the kingdom principles of God's word that allows us to bring victory into our lives, which tells us that whatever promises God's given us, the Bible says that they are yea and amen unto us, which means yes, and so be it. So whatever the promises of God, there's authority in that word. God's word, we've talked about before, backs God's power backs his word. Your words are only backed by your ability. God's words are backed by his ability. And so it's not new age of mind over matter. It's the truth over the circumstances. And we've talked about in the word confession, and we're not talking specifically about confessing sins. We're talking about the word homologio in the original text, which means to say what God is saying about you. So there's power when we begin to say with our mouth what God is saying. Why is that important? Because God needs your permission. God needs your permission to get involved in your life. Most people think, well, he's God. He can do anything. Why don't he just fix it? He needs your permission. Why would God need your permission? Because he gave man authority on this earth. See, he's not going to override your will. He created a system. He told Adam, I want you to have authority. I want you to have dominion. It's like if I took my watch off and I handed it to Kenny, said, Kenny, I want to bless you. Here's my watch. It's yours. Well, next month, if I want to use that watch, I can't go over and take it off Kenny's arm. That wouldn't be right. For me to have access to that watch, I have to get permission from him. That's why some people, God loves them, they love God, and they say, God, why isn't this area of my life changing? I've cried about it. Well, God doesn't respond by crying. The system is set up. according to the Word of God, for us to activate or receive by faith. The Bible tells us that we inherit the promises of God with faith and patience. That means it's not overnight, but it will happen over time. And it happens by faith, by faith, by faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain. See, God's not trying to get you to come up with a solution the size of the problem. Let me say that again. Your Heavenly Father is not trying to get you to figure out a solution, a resolve that is as big as the problem you face. David didn't look for a stone that was the size of Goliath. He just looked for a stone that would do the job. Your faith can be the size of a mustard seed, but it must be faith. It must be faith. And that's where we start getting a little cloudy in a lot of people, because we call every person who comes to church and loves God and going to heaven a believer. And we are, because we believe it in our heart and we confess with our mouth. We accepted Jesus. There was a salvation transition, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Am I losing you this morning? I'm going fast. But there's a transition that happens. We're all saved. But if we're not careful, we'll stop at that in our area of belief. We'll believe he's our Savior and our Lord and we're going to heaven, but we'll stop believing. And we'll move into the area of mental agreement. What is that? That's if someone said to you, do you believe that God heals today, that Jesus heals? Oh, I agree with that, yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is your shepherd and your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, and wants to bless you? Oh, I'll agree with that. Well, you know, he's not looking for a vote. He's not even looking for you to agree. Because agreement is in the area of your mind. Let me pause for a second. Agreement is in the area of your thoughts. That's not where faith's at. Faith is in your heart. You believe with your heart. But Pastor, what's the difference? There is a big difference, because faith brings change. Mental agreement might make you feel good about the situation, but it doesn't change the situation. You might say, I agree that he's my healer and forever be sick. I agree he's my provider and never see a financial blessing. What's the difference? Because God's power is backed by his word that's activated by and received by faith. Faith is believing from the heart and obeying. So how do we, and today we're going to talk about, how do we, and this is, that was all quick review, how do we develop a believing heart? That's what we're going to talk about today. How do I get myself to a place that my heart is believing? Because if I can get my heart to a place of believing, just not mentally agreeing, but believing, I can step into the power of God, the dimension of God, and receive from God what he wants me to receive. Because we inherit, again, the promises of God. How? By faith and patience. It's quiet here. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. You're just following along, aren't you? Liars. I'm joking. I just seen if you're listening. Say, with God, all things are possible. So how do we develop a believing heart? How do we develop a believing heart? Look to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you can look to the screen. Luke chapter 6 says, a good man out of the good treasure. Now, the word treasure there comes from the word deposit. You know, you take your paycheck and you deposit it. If you don't take any money and deposit it, then go into the bank and saying, I want to cash a check or make a withdrawal, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. You can say, but I got a checkbook here and I signed it. Yeah, but you have to make a deposit. Stick with me. You have to make a deposit before you get a withdrawal. Do you not? You have to make a deposit. See, a lot of times in church world, we don't make any deposits in the kingdom of God. We don't make any deposits of the word of God. We just want all the withdrawals. And we're bankrupting ourselves. Because when it doesn't work the way we think it should work, we'll look to other means. Stay with me. We'll look to other people. Well, this didn't work like I thought it should work in the Bible, so I'm going to call my Aunt Susie, and I know she can cover me on this. I need some money for rent. I need some money to buy this. I need you to take care of this for me. And that might work, and all of a sudden, we're not depending on God, we're depending on people. And that will only last so far, and all of a sudden, Aunt Susie's going to say, I'm cutting you off because I have my own stuff to take care of. And then we'll get frustrated, and we'll burn that bridge. See, you'll bankrupt relationships, you'll bankrupt things around you because you will try to withdraw from them something that they were never intended to bring into your life. When you try to get from others what you're supposed to get from God and His Word, you will mess up that relationship. You will mess up that job. You will mess up that career. You will mess up that hobby. You will mess up that. Why? Because you're trying to take from it something it was never intended to provide. It's getting quiet. That's why we teach you even in your giving. I don't care who it is. You find the mind of God. You don't have to give in an offering or give to people just based on a sad story. Well, aren't you a Christian? Have you ever had someone do that to you? You should be taking care of my bills. No, get a job. I don't need to get a job. You know I like staying up late. I can't get up early. The Bible says that the person who doesn't work doesn't eat. See, they'll use that guilt knowing you're a Christian. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Why do the people who aren't try to judge those who are? You ever see those who aren't all of a sudden become the experts of what a Christian should be? That's why you can look at them and say, well, let me pray about it just a minute. Go. Jesus said no. I'm sorry. You know, if it was just me, if it was just up to me, I would do it because I love you. But I just talked to the man. Jesus said no. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'll tell you, you need to take your business with Jesus. Get that taken care of because I know he'll tell me yes eventually. See, I just freed some of you from those crazy relatives that have been hounding you. Come on, somebody. All right, let's get that verse back up there. So from the good man out of the good treasure, good deposits of his heart, brings forth that which is good. Now, I want you to notice here, we're going to emphasize on the positive today. A good man out of the good deposits of his heart. This should free you up too. In receiving what God has for you, and I've dealt with this myself, I'll subconsciously try to juggle everybody's life because I think everybody's got to have it just right for God to do it. Start tightening up the parameters. I got to keep everybody. You know what? Maybe not. Because it didn't say out of the good treasure of everyone's heart around him. It said a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. See, everybody can be against you, but what you are producing from God's word in your life that will bring change and bring the promises of God into your life aren't based on everybody else. They're based on your heart. We said it this way. If you believe, then all things are possible. Jesus said that, right? And so if you believe that God is your provider and you begin to experience God's miracle power in your finances, someone sitting next to you shouldn't be mad at you because you just got a raise and they just got a demotion. Because if they're not believing, then what do they need to do? Start believing. Because with God, it's not a pie mentality. You getting a big slice of the pie doesn't mean I have to get a smaller slice because God's limited. Well, you know, I would answer your prayer to take that pain away, but, you know, I just healed somebody and they were really bad off. And so, yeah, I'm hitting my quota for the month. Can you come back to me on Tuesday? No, God doesn't do that. There's no limitation. So you can be blessed. Can you imagine? Jesus could take you and so bless you financially that you show up next week and say, you know what? All my bills are paid. I am out of debt and I have 7 digits in my bank account and I'm just looking for God to tell me what to do. And we can celebrate with him. Because some people be looking and say, oh, well, who does he think he is? I didn't get anything this week. But if he's believing and I'm not believing, I shouldn't get mad. I need to start believing. Because you can not only have a bigger slice of the pie, you can have the whole pie. And guess what? That doesn't affect my pie because God's got a pie just for you and just for me. If we believe. And it comes out of this area of your heart, which we took on the phrase that your promotion, your potential, your destiny, no one can hinder you from reaching your destiny. So what about the devil? No, not the devil. He could try, but he can't. When you understand what's happening, people will try to push you down. You just keep coming back up. They try to sell you in prison. You rise to the top. You get a new job. All of a sudden, they lie on you, and they send you back to prison. You're coming out of the prison. You're going to end up in the palace. They can't keep you down because your good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth. Where's it coming? Out of my heart. Say, out of my heart. What are you bringing forth? That which is good. This so frees you because we will become, if we're not careful, victim mentality people, where we think it's all based on somebody. If I had somebody there, if it's all about my boss or the economy, or I can't get started a business, the economy's bad. Well, if God told you to start a business, you can shine when everybody else is freaking out. Do you know during one of the worst recessions we've ever seen in our lives, there's been people that have become millionaires? Can you imagine? And a lot of people are freaking out, hanging on, just, no. God could bless you. Did you hear me? God can bless you. Isaac was blessed when there was a famine. God can bless you in the worst case scenario. Because you're not depending on everybody or everything or perfect conditions. You're learning a principle from God's word that you're bringing that which is good, you're bringing it forth out of your heart. That means out of your belief, out of your faith. Out of your faith. Can you imagine if we were activating this at full potential in every area of your lives? Can you imagine if all of a sudden people are losing their jobs, but you kept on increasing? People are getting sick, but you kept on being healed? Because it's not depending on on people. It's depending on God and your faith. Mark 4. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as a man shall cast seed into the ground. Now this is all after a parable that we've studied before, talking about a sower sowing the word in the heart. And he said, so is the kingdom of heaven as if a man should cast seed. We found earlier that the seed was the word of God into the ground. The ground was the heart, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to fully understand the things of God to benefit from them. Let me say that again. You don't have to fully understand. God doesn't say you have to have a certain IQ or a certain degree or a certain zip code or no, for you to believe. You don't have to understand how it works. You just benefit from it working. You benefit from it working, even though you don't understand. I don't understand how my car runs, but I like driving it. I don't understand how my TV works, but I'm so glad for high def. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You don't have to understand all the details of it for you to benefit from it. You should get excited about that because the devil will say, oh, you don't know what you're doing. I know, I'm just obeying. And it's working for me. So how do we develop a believing heart? Number one, saturate your mind with the promise of God. Number one, saturate your mind with the promise of God. Number one, saturate your mind with the promise of God. Let me give you a good example why. When I was 19 years old, it was a summertime, and I got up early, and I was going down to my parents' pool to put chlorine in. You ever mess with chlorine in pools? You have to be very careful and cautious how you do that. And back in the day, it was all dry granule, and so I'm opening this container very carefully. I'm keeping my head away from it. You know what I mean? But just so happens that it was hot enough that container had built up pressure. I didn't realize it. And as I opened it, all the gas, chlorine gas in there that was pressurized when I began to open it was released and just went everywhere. I felt a dark cloud hit me, and it was hot, and went into my lungs, and my lungs began to burn. I began to gasp. I began to spit. I began to swallow. I'm coughing. I'm trying to get my breath. I go up to the house, and my sister and my mom were sitting there talking at the kitchen table, and I'm over the sink, and I'm gagging, and I'm spitting, and I'm trying to get my breath, and they said, hey, what's going on? And I'm trying to explain to them, and they're like, we didn't know the severity of the problem. We didn't know the dangers of what I was dealing with. And so they just happened to call poison control, and poison control told them, get him to the emergency room now. Okay, so here we go in the car, gagging, spitting, choking, coughing, trying to get air. Have you ever been to the hospital emergency room? Even emergency room, there's a tendency of, like, fill out the form, sit here, we'll call you, right? What do I do with this arm? I just cut off. He'll just sit there and write with the other arm. Just joking for all our medical people. I apologize. So. Never when you're on shift. It's just the others. We walked in and we'd begin. They were like, what's going on? And they told them what was happening. And they hit some button and lights went off and people came running. And they put me in a chair and they immediately wheeled me. They didn't get my name. They didn't get any insurance. They didn't get anything. They wheeled me to some back room. They put me on this bed. They stuck IVs in me. They put oxygen. And we found out later that when chlorine gas like that gets into you, it can stop your heart immediately. Yeah, you say, wow, now you were laughing a second ago when I was talking about it. See how different information can change your whole perspective. So there's a lot of dangerous problems, and praise God, and thankfully that didn't happen, right? I didn't die, praise God. And so, but I mean, there's all these issues, and one of the problems, I had to stay in the hospital for 24 hours, and one of the issues that happens with this is that my body began to gravitate, my blood began to gravitate to the chlorine molecules. And was rejecting the oxygen molecules. That's not a good thing. Say, that's not a good thing. And so what he had to do for 24 hours, I had to wear this oxygen mask that had heavy oxygen in it. Why? You might ask. And that's the question I asked them. And they said they had to saturate my blood with oxygen to the place that my oxygen count would come up and would be more than the chlorine molecule count. And once it crossed over, then my blood would go back and gravitate and cling on to the oxygen and would reject the chlorine. Until then, because the chlorine molecules was more than the oxygen in my blood was gravitating to the chlorine molecules and rejecting the oxygen. So I had to saturate my blood to a point, and there was a tipping point where that my body's system would automatically go back to where it's supposed to be. See, if we feed our mind and our hearts with garbage, that stuff will go throughout our system into our thought life, our self-image, our attitudes, our perspective, or in the way we make decisions, and we will gravitate to the wrong direction. Just automatic. But if we can begin to saturate our heart and our mind with the Word of God, the truth of God, to the place that once it crosses over the negative, you will begin to gravitate to what God's Word is. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You might ask, Pastor, how much do I need to read? 3 or 4 verses? A chapter a day? 10 chapters? How long do I read? How much do I pray? Let me tell you, I cannot give you the answer to that. It's like someone asking you, I'm in a hole. How long does it take me to get out of the hole? The next question should be, how deep's the hole? Because if you've been digging a hole for 35 years and you're so deep, 3 minutes probably not going to make it you getting out of the hole. But if you do the right thing, you can be moving toward the transition. And there is a point in your life, in your mindset, in your heart, where when you're building the truth up, there is a point where you can begin to cross over. And when there's more truth than garbage, you'll begin to gravitate to the truth. So we need to saturate our mind, our heart, with the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. See, faith comes by hearing, but if you want the faith in God's Word, you got to hear God's Word. That means you got to find just not anything. I'm not telling you to study the begets. You'll have dreams about weird names. You know what I mean? I'm not telling you to do that. But get the promise of God for what you're trying to believe for. And spend time on a regular basis reading the Word, speaking the Word, confessing the Word, praying the Word, listening to the Word. Why? Because faith cometh, it's not overnight, but it's over time. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But it doesn't stop there. Because if we'll just take, let's just say, John Doe. And John Doe comes up and says, Pastor, I'm believing that my finances are going to change. And I want to do it by God's word. Show me what to do. And I would first time start reading the promises of finances. Find the word of God, what God said to you about your finances. And you know what? As he hears messages, as he speaks it, as he listens to it, faith is going to come. But that is at a point of information. Say information. Just because you hear information doesn't even mean you have understanding. That's why it's important to get understanding, because even now you will be challenged with your own mind and attention to be distracted. The biggest challenge to every believer in any level in the kingdom of God is your ability to focus. Because the devil will use distraction to get you to forget and not hear. It's your ability to focus, say, wait a minute, stay focused. But yeah, I want them to move. I've already heard this. You got to keep hearing it, because faith doesn't come in having heard. Faith comes by hearing, and you got to keep hearing, and you got to keep hearing, and you get the understanding. But that's still in the area of your mind. Many believers stop in the area of their mind. Oh, I've heard that. I understand that. I'm glad you can understand it, but you're still in mental agreement because you're not in the area of believing yet. Because when you're in the area of believing, you're going to activate your faith. When you activate your faith, you will see change beyond what you can do on your own. This is for everybody, and we are all growing in this thing. John 15:7 says, abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. It's God's word abiding in you. How much word do you need? I don't know what kind of hole you're in. I don't know how deep the problem is. But I will tell you that if you keep reading the word and keep confessing the word and keep listening to the word, that there will be a time. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua in the morning and the evening, he said twice a day, I want you to meditate, think about the promises. That way you'll do them. Why? And you're going to make yourself strong and courageous. You will make yourself prosperous. I don't know how often you should do it, but I'm telling you, you need to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, knowing that there is, and your mind will say, this will never work. The devil whispers, said, this is stupid, it'll never work. Let him talk all he wants. The more he talks, the more you should know you're getting close to your exit. The more he talks, know you're getting close to your victory. Because as you walk into this doorstep of your victory, he's going to be screaming the loudest, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And too many believers have quit the journey at the doorstep, minutes, moments away from their miracle. When the devil says, this is wasting time, you ought to do something else. This will never change. You still got the same bad attitude. You're making someone nervous. You keep doing it. And eventually there's a crossing point. And what you're hearing in the word, the information is increasing. It's greater than the negative. Number two, and again, it's not overnight, but it is over time. Starve opposite information. You don't pray, God, heal me, and then you spend 8 hours dwelling on the doctor's report with your imagination of how your funeral is going to look. I'm just being real. Because when you get a bad report from the doctor, you will spend a lot of energy, if you're not careful, dreaming or imagining what the worst case scenario is. See, that's faith going in the opposite direction. That's fear. That's fear. You'll see your funeral, you'll see people crying, you'll see how it should look, you're right, and all this planned out way before your time because of a doctor's report. According to the 10 spies, they had an evil report, which is the report that said it was impossible and was in conflict with what God was saying. So anything that's in conflict with what God is saying is an evil report. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because your greatest battle is in the area of your thoughts. Your greatest battle is not the devil. Your greatest battle is not those people talking against you. Your greatest battle is your own imagination, and you have to bring it into alignment with the word and will of God. What would happen if we didn't dream of the worst case scenario? What if we begin to daydream and imagine the best case scenario? Oh, I'm not going to die early. I'm going to live long, because the Bible says that with long life, he will satisfy you. Oh, I'm going to live until I'm done living. What would happen? Oh, I'm going to see my grandkids. I'm going to see my great-grandkids grow. You begin to daydream about how you're going to watch them grow up. Instead of dreaming about them taking your car off and kicking you out of your house and you losing your house, you ought to dream, oh, I just see my house being paid for. I just see me looking for a second house or a bigger house. Why? Because the negative information starts building up and it makes it harder. Listen to this. What you feed grows or gets stronger, and what you starve gets weaker. If you feed your mind and your heart negative information, the opposite of God's truth, that will get stronger. That means you'll feel it. You can literally experience it emotionally and physically, and it hadn't even happened yet. We got to starve the bad information. Last but not least, but we're still at information. We're not there yet. We're getting close. I'm getting close. Say, I'm getting close. Come on, I got to work you. Say, I'm getting close. Number three, last but not least, we have to receive the revelation. The rhema. What is the rhema? The written word is in the original text is logos. That's information. Stick with me for the last 5 minutes, and I guarantee you'll be glad you did. The written word is information. When that word is made alive by the Spirit of God in your heart, it becomes rhema. It's alive to you. That's when it goes from information in your head to all of a sudden believing in your heart. Let me give you a couple scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. Notice which God has prepared. Has prepared. Not going to prepare. Has prepared. See, when someone calls you to dinner and says, dinner's all prepared, that doesn't mean they're going out the door to go shopping for the ingredients. That doesn't mean that they're just pulling out the pans to start cooking. It means it's all prepared. What does it mean? It's ready for you to receive. So you might come quickly, or you might come slowly, or you might not come at all, but it doesn't change the fact that the dinner was prepared for you to receive. See, salvation, healing, deliverance, blessing, it's not a future what he's going to do. It is already done in the covenant of the Son being crucified on the cross. Had prepared. Notice, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Notice this next verse. Verse 10. But God has what? Revealed it. See, you're not going to figure it all out. You need a revelation. People look at you in the natural and say, God's going to heal you. I don't get it. They might not ever get it. It's not about you figuring it out. It's about you receiving a revelation. Your whole family being saved. You look at it and it looks impossible, but you're not trying to figure it out. You don't know how this thing works, but all you need to receive is a revelation. But it's revealed to them, notice, by his Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will take that information, the logos, and make it alive to your rhema, make it alive as a rhema in your heart. It goes from your head then into your heart. That's where you need to work, because God's power backs his rhema. God's power backs his rhema. God's power backs the revelation. What we tend to do in the church world is we try to adopt somebody else's rhema for our own. It's like God saying to Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abraham says, I don't have any children. Why would you bless me? I guess I'll just adopt one of my servant's kids and let him be the heir. And God said, no, your heir will come from you. Your rhema's got to be your rhema, not somebody else's rhema. That's why when God speaks to somebody and they do it and it works, there's a tendency to write a book, and other people are looking for a similar solution, and they pick up the book and say, it must be from God. It worked for them, and we tried it and it didn't work at all. Did you hear me? It took one person to write a book, How You Can Have an Amazing Life, and all of a sudden 10 other authors all wrote the same book about the same destination, doing it differently. Which book do I read? Well, if it's not a rhema to you, let me just help you out, even in your giving. You'll see people on TV and say, you know what? God told me to give $1,000, and I gave $1,000, and all of a sudden in 30 days, I had $10,000, and in the next 30 days, $30,000, and if you give $1,000, you can have the same thing. Let me help you out. Not going to happen. Why? Because if you catch the first part, I was in church and God told me to give $1,000. If God tells you to give $1,000, you should do it. But if you're trying to do it because somebody else did it and you like the results, it's not going to work for you because you're working in the area of information, not revelation. When Jesus told Peter, step out of the boat, it was a specific instruction at that moment. After the resurrection, Peter got up and said, you know what? I walked on water. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to try. I'm going to start a ministry walking on water. That sucker would have sunk. Because you don't adopt a rhema from somebody else or from another time. I'm telling you, David went before God and said, should I charge? What should I do with this army that's against me? And God said, attack. David attacked. He had victory. Shortly after, the Bible says that they kind of regrouped and came after him again. And David thought, God told me to attack before. I'm going to attack again. He went out the second time and lost. So he came back and said, God, what's the problem? God said, I didn't tell you to attack the second time. You need a rhema, a right now word from God to you, revealed from the information that's gone from your head into your heart, and you know for yourself what God is saying to you. Are you listening? Because the rhema will bring instruction, not just one. Because it didn't take one decision to get you in that problem. The rhema will walk you out of this thing. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a voice another they will not follow. We got to follow the shepherd. But Jesus not around. But he said to the disciples, I go away because if I do not go away, the Father will not send the paraclete. I'm sending you another comforter, another, which means one just like the first. Who was the first? Was Jesus. So Jesus said, I can't be everywhere in this natural body, so I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. What is truth? The rhema. And you shall know the truth, the rhema of God. And that truth will set your feet free. So what do? You walk out the rhema. You can do everything. Listen, you can try to do everything that this book says. That's the Bible. And you'll find yourself failing. Why? Because you can't obey all this stuff out of information. See, that's where religion gets in. And we try harder and we try harder. I got to do all the stuff it tells me. And we're trying to do it on our own. You can't do it in your own. You were not designed to do it in your own. For Philippians says, it is God who is working in you, giving you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. How does God give you the ability? By giving you his power. How does he give you his power? When you obey the rhema that he speaks to your heart. And so it might not be a big rhema. You sometimes look for spectacular. You look for spectacular instruction. You need significant steps, which means when God speaks to you, you take a step. If he says stand, you stand. When everybody's running, you stand. If he says move to the right, you move to the right. If he says give, you give. If he says don't give, you don't give. You do what the rhema of God is speaking to your heart. And you are walking yourself out of this, led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Which means when he speaks to my heart what to do, I just simply obey. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to copy anybody else. God help all the dear men and women of God who would just out of sincerity would take a new believer and try to deposit into them 50 years of convictions, and the new believer walks away and says, there's no way I can do this life. Of course you can. That's their journey, not yours. You've got to get a relationship with Jesus. He will walk you one step at a time. Why would he do that? Because his level of living is so beyond how you see things, how you can imagine things. It's so amazing that you need a revelation of the goodness of God in your life. And when you begin to see it, you'll walk away and say, there's no way I can do that. You can't. He wants to do it through you so that only he gets glory. You can be the best billboard in St. Louis that discovers and declares the goodness of God. Why? Because people that know you and around you are watching you, and they know what you can and can't do. But when they begin to see the power of God change your body, change your marriage, change your finances, they're going to know that the Jesus that you've been talking about, the Jesus that you've been celebrating and worshiping, the Jesus that you've been serving is more than just an idea. He's alive. Hey! today. Get a rhema. I got to get a rhema. So how do... Let's close this down. How do we get a rhema? We get the information. We saturate our mind with the word, the logos. Out of that logos, the Holy Spirit will begin and to give us a revelation in our heart. Once it moves into your heart, you are in a whole different level. Now it's a matter of you speaking with authority or acting with decisiveness. You obey God what he tells you to do out of a believing heart. For the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What happens? You're connecting what you're believing to what you're doing. And that is your act of faith, and that connects you to God and his power every time. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you.